Okay, our lesson tonight is the last of our series of Truth is Like a Big Mac. And, of course, we're not going to be talking about the burgers tonight. We're just going to mention it one time. But this is a method as we look at it. See, the truth is like a Big Mac. And then the church is like McDonald's. We covered that last Sunday. And then the kingdom of heaven is like. We're going to talk about this and why this lesson is presented in this way. And we have a responsibility to teach others about Jesus and his church. He's given us that responsibility. And we have seen how Jesus used parables to explain spiritual things in ways people could understand. Now, some people were ready. Some of them perceived it. Some people just heard nothing more than a good story by a good storyteller. That's all they heard. They didn't get anything out of it. But eventually, as time went along, it would start making sense. And we have the benefit of being this side of the cross to understand what Jesus was talking about. And so his methods of communicating with people was taking things that they were familiar with and kind of expanding them into a spiritual application. So we've seen comparisons of the truth with, like, say, the sandwich. And we've seen some comparisons of the church with the organization known as McDonald's. And so we're going to notice how Jesus described his kingdom. And if you want to follow along in Matthew, that's where all the verses are going to come from. It's amazing how many verses Jesus actually talked about the kingdom of heaven. Starting off, of course, he says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Close, nearby, arriving shortly, within reach. That's what the at hand means. It's almost here. And so, it's just like on a sermon when the preacher changes tone. Okay, it's almost over. I can pull out my songbook and get ready to sing. I mean, sometimes you see something that is near. Throughout history, the Jews were looking for the Messiah to come, and now Jesus and John the Baptist started preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, it's almost here, what we've been waiting for all these years. Matthew 3:2, and John speaking and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so we're going to look at these verses with the word kingdom. Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then in Matthew 5:10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And you take all of these and see how the word kingdom is used. We have a pretty good understanding of what it takes to be in the kingdom, what is required of us while we're in the kingdom, and as we're going to see, how we get into that kingdom. And so it's important we learn these things. Matthew 5:19, whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 5:20, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. The scribes and the Pharisees, that was their whole reputation. Look at us, we're the most pious individuals, we're the most godly individuals, and you always got to look to us for the example. Now Jesus said, do what they tell you to do, but don't do what they're doing, because they're just a bunch of hypocrites. And Matthew 23 tells us that. So we need to exceed their righteousness. And you can see, okay, they were the most pious people of their day. And Jesus said, you've got to be better than that. And I mean, when you hit the upper echelon of what people in the world consider the most religious of all, which in our day and age, maybe preachers, priests are considered that way. Maybe they look to some of the monks sitting in some monastery somewhere who basically sitting there meditating all day long. They say those are the most pious people in our world today. We've got to be better than that. And somehow our mind says, what? How can we be better? I mean, how can we dedicate our lives like that? Well, Jesus asks us to, and we should be doing that. Matthew 6:10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We recognize this from the prayer that he was teaching his disciples at that time, waiting for the kingdom to come. And so it hadn't come yet. And so we're still looking for it, at least in that time of his ministry. Later on, we will see that it does come. Matthew 7:21 gives us another insight about the type of people who will and will not be going into the kingdom of heaven. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. There's a lot of people with just all talk. That's all they do. They talk how religious they are, how faithful they are, how good they are. But Jesus isn't going to go for that. He knows. He knows perfectly. And when we stand before God, he's going to tell us exactly why we didn't get into the kingdom of heaven, if that is our lot. He's going to tell us why we did. And so we have to be aware of those things. Matthew 8:11, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And that's right. People come from all over the place. And Jesus is already indicating it's not going to be for the Jews only. Jesus said people from all nations, all tongues. And of course, he's going to remind them later on, and many of the gospel writers will remind them, this is what was spoken by the prophets, how that he would be declaring good news to the nations. It's not going to be a limited social class of people that are so very special. It's going to be available to everybody, this kingdom. In Matthew 10:7, as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He sent out some men and said, go and preach. And he gave them instructions. Be wise as serpents and watch out for the wolves out there. We had that lesson a couple of weeks ago. All right. In Matthew 11:11, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. John the Baptist, selected by God to announce the good tidings as the result of prophecy, fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus said he was a great man, but guess what? The least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So John the Baptist was not in the kingdom. Now in Matthew 11:12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. There's a lot of upheaval and different problems going on. John the Baptist said some things and upset a lot of people. You remember what he said? You brood of vipers, and you need to bring forth the fruit meat for repentance. And he was on their case quite a bit about that. They didn't like that. Everything's being upset. And when Jesus comes on the scene, here he is. Some say, we found the Messiah. We found the one who was prophesied would come to us. And the leaders of their day, well, wait a minute. We're your leaders. You should be listening to us. Don't listen to that guy whose daddy was a carpenter. No, you need to listen to us. And so, yes, there's some disagreement there in the kingdom, in the nation of Israel. Matthew 13:11, and talking about the parables. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Remember, Jesus didn't speak a word without speaking to them in parables. Then he came into the house, the disciples came with him, says, they asked him, why do you speak in parables? Well, he explained, because they're not ready to handle it. They can't handle it. Now, as time goes along, eventually the light bulb is going to go off. Eventually it's going to make sense to them. But right now, they're not ready to handle it. And in many ways, the disciples weren't ready to handle it either, as we see from the various writings of the New Testament. Matthew 11:12, that's the wrong one. All right, Matthew 13:24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. There's seven parables in Matthew chapter 13. All of them, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like. And so we'll look at some of these. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Mustard seeds, I understand, are very tiny, but the plants grow up very large, which is just kind of an explosion of growth. And that's what the church did when it began. You know, it began with 3,000 souls added to their number that day, on that first day. Just a few days later, we read that 5,000 obeyed, 5,000 men, notwithstanding the women and the younger ones. And then it says the church multiplied after that. It was never added to, but it was always multiplied. It grew exceedingly. The growth in the kingdom, when the kingdom is taught, is going to produce results. Matthew 13:33, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Anybody who's ever done any baking understands the principles of leaven, how it works. We call it yeast. But still, you take a yeast packet and put it in flour, that's put a little water in it, and guess what? You have this little clump, and then next thing you know, it's a big clump. So, and then it's ready for baking. So, yeah, we understand that principle. The leaven, it doesn't take a whole massive amount, just a little bit. Just a little bit of the Word of God, just a little bit of the truth is really all it needs to get things started and rolling. And then if you were to take some of that dough that has already been leavened and put it in another clump of flour and water, the principle is still going to be there. It's still going to grow up, and it's still going to go through that leavening process. And that's why Jesus told the disciples, beware of the leaven. Just a little bit of error is enough to corrupt the whole thing. Matthew 13:44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. And then, of course, he finds that pearl, and he sells all that he has. In other words, it's a commitment that requires we give up everything for this kingdom. To acquire this kingdom, we have to give up everything. And, yeah, okay, we're not going to give up our houses, we're not going to give up our cars, our jobs, things like that. But our focus needs to change. It's not we're doing this for us, but now we're living for God. And that's the change that we need to make. We have to give up anything that we hold dear to ourselves and put God in first place. We cannot let anything get in the way. Jesus even talked about family. Mother, daughter, son, father. I mean, if they are more important than Jesus, then you don't deserve to be in his kingdom. That's what Jesus said. So we need to keep that balance. We need to keep that understanding that it is important that God's things always come first. In verse 47, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast in the sea and gathered of every kind. Just remember the soil. The sower went out. He sowed it everywhere. Well, it depending on which lake you're in, which ocean you're fishing out of, you cast a net out, you're liable to come up with all sorts of different creatures. Sometimes there's schools. You can get lucky and get a catch of the same type of fish. But sometimes you put it out there, you get all sorts of stuff. And so it's open to everybody. And when the truth is preached, doesn't matter what color they are, doesn't matter what their age is, doesn't matter what their background is, their social background, or how much money they have, or anything like that. Casting the opportunity for people to respond to the gospel, that's going to bring results of all different kinds. And that's why we need to teach, because people have all sorts of different backgrounds. All right, in verse 52, then said he unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. So just a description there. Use what we have. That's what we need to take from this. A lot of us, even before we became Christians, maybe we had certain skills, had abilities. Learning how to use those abilities for God is what we should be doing. And so there's different kinds of people. They have things that are old, things that are new. And yes, we can bring forth these treasures. Matthew 16:19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The keys of the kingdom. Of course, we know what that is. It's the gospel message. That's what we need to have. And that's what the disciples, which would become the apostles, that's what they would have. These keys. Now, they would be guided by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth. So they didn't come up some whimsical idea that, well, I think everybody has to wear a suit and tie. All the men have to wear a suit and tie, and women have to wear dresses when they come to church. They didn't make that kind of rule, and there was no need for it. And the fact that they were 2,000 years ago, probably nobody ever knew what a tie was except what you tied around your waist. So, but anyway, people have different ideas and what they think the Lord requires. But the Lord kept it very simple. He kept it very simple. What does the Lord require of you? Micah 6:8 is a good passage to answer that question. All right. Matthew 18:1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? See, we talked about this last week, where the disciples were kind of bickering among themselves, figuring out who's best, who needs to sit at Jesus' right hand, and who had the most esteem of all of them. And it's like Jesus just shaking his head. I just can't believe they're doing this. I mean, they've been around me this long. I'm just at a loss for words, is almost. Sometimes we feel that way. We see people who ought to know better, and here they are bickering about their status in heaven. What about your life on this earth? How are you living? That's what's going to determine whether you get there. So, yeah, they sometimes got off on the wrong tangent. Matthew 18:3, and said, verily I say to you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Of course, this is right after he complained because they were seeking their own status and everything. Okay, you want to be great in the kingdom? You become like the child. And of course, when he's talking about that, and of course, we've all seen children that we wouldn't want to imitate at all. We've seen them bratty little kids that do the screaming and all sorts of stuff like that. No, that's not what Jesus was talking about. He's talking about that innocent little creature, free from sin. And that's what we need to be. We need to be free from sin. How do we get free from sin? Of course, we know through the gospel message. We obey the gospel and our sins are washed away. That's how we become free from sin. Jesus said, you should know the truth. The truth shall make you free. So that's how we do it. That's how we enter the kingdom of heaven, to become innocent before God. Matthew 18:4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Humbling. Children were basically taught at young age, shut up, be quiet, don't make a sound. I mean, and a lot of times parents try and do the same thing. They try and keep their kids quiet. But the idea Jesus had was keep this child humble. This child is very humble. He's quiet, he's patient, he's just kind of looking around and see what's going on. If you want to get to the kingdom of heaven, that's how you need to be. You need to pay attention. You need to recognize others as more important than yourself. Exactly. All right, Matthew 18:23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. You know, this starts off the parable where the one servant owed 500 or a whole lot of gold, and he let him go, another servant, and he went and found another servant, put him in prison. So, yeah, different people handle things in different ways. But every king holds his servants accountable. Every owner, every master holds his servants accountable, like we see in Matthew chapter 25, in the parable of the talents. God holds each and every one of us accountable. He's going to bring us up and say, this is what I gave you to do. You did or didn't do it, one or the other. All right, Matthew 19 and verse 12. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which are made eunuchs of men. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. Some people do that. Some people decide, and I think Paul talked about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If you can get by without taking a wife, you're probably going to be in really good shape. You're probably going to be really good. If you can't contain yourself, then go ahead and marry. And so I know a lot of, I see a lot of snickers going on right now. Y'all are kind of, when I get home, I'm going to talk to him about this or her about this. No. He's just talking about people, and he just happened to bring up the kingdom of heaven. And Matthew 19, verse 14, but Jesus said, suffer little children, for that forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Another situation when he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. And then Matthew, verse 23, 19, 23, they said, Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say to you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, some verses say it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Turns out in their cultures, once the big major gates were closed, the only entrance into a city was from a very small portal. And that was usually called the needle. And it was really just basically maybe 5.5, 6 feet tall, maybe not even that tall. And a man could probably get through without any problem, but a big camel would have to struggle to get through. And so he says, you've got to make an effort. In order to get to heaven, you've got to make an effort. And that's what he was using this parable for. Matthew 20, for the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. This is the one where he hires some at the first hour, the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, and then the 11th hour. And then, of course, he just decided to pay all of them the same thing. Give them all that reward. And that's how, of course, there's a lot of lessons in that parable as we look at it. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. God has prepared something for us, and the invitation has been sent out. But you remember in this parable what happened. He sent out the invitation to these people, and they started coming up with excuses. I bought some land. I bought some cattle. I've married a wife. And they come up with all these different excuses. And Jesus, these people aren't coming in. And that's what the parable says. Go out and find, I want my house full of people being happy for my son. So go out there. Compel people to come in. Go out in the highways and byways and bring them in. But those who are invited will not come. Now, that was kind of a diss on the Israelites, because God prepared everything for them, and when the time came, they chose not to accept God's terms and God's gift. Matthew 23:13, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are going in. In other words, they would tell people all sorts of things they needed to do to be pleasing to God, but they wouldn't do it themselves. And Jesus called them hypocrites for doing that. In chapter 25, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And while the bridegroom delayed, remember, some of them had extra oil, some of them didn't, and then all of a sudden the late hour came, all of a sudden it got dark. Hey, we need some oil for our lamps. We're prepared. You're not prepared. You go buy the oil. So they went and bought the oil from the merchants. When they got back, all of a sudden the bridegroom had come and they all went in. They knocked on the door. Too late. Can you imagine how you would feel if you knocked on heaven's door and they just open up and says, too late. Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. The parable of the talents here. That's what it's like. God has given each and every one of us gifts. Different kinds of gifts. We don't know what those gifts are, but somehow, some way, whatever talent we do have, we're supposed to use. Instead of just burying what little we do have, we're not supposed to do that. It's very simple. The kingdom is spiritual, and that's something they weren't prepared to hear. In fact, they never were taught in the Old Testament about a spiritual kingdom. I mean, the only thing they knew about heaven was that's where God was. And as Paul described, maybe the heavens where the birds dwell. And Paul mentioned three heavens there in 2 Corinthians. The first heaven, of course, where the birds fly around. That's in the sky. And then the second heaven is where the stars, sun, and moon are. And then the heaven above is where God dwells. That's how he described it. Now, I'm not going to say God is up there, but symbolically, yes, he's above everything. So that's how we need to look at it. The kingdom is spiritual. And Jesus is talking to a bunch of people who have absolutely no idea what spiritual even means. And so he's trying to explain these things. That's why he said the kingdom of heaven is likened unto something that they were familiar with. And the stories that he told, they're great stories. They're stories that even have application for us. And so, and really, to be honest, there's no way to describe something nobody has ever seen. Now, some people can envision it in their mind, but try and explain to somebody, I mean, just you might get that blank stare or just something like shrug of the shoulders or something like that. So here, something is being ushered in which has never been in existence before. It's beyond the scope of human experience, and it's about to happen. And that's why Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven. It's going to happen this way. It's going to be coming in. And of course, we're supposed to learn from all of these about this kingdom. So he uses word pictures and descriptions, something that we can describe. Like I said a few weeks ago, how do you describe the color blue to a blind person? Have you ever thought about that? How do you discuss it? Now, you can talk about shapes and hand them something and they can feel it, a round ball or a triangle or something like that, and they can feel outlines, but to describe a color, it just can't be done. We need to try to understand the spiritual application in all of these, because we need to be teaching people what heaven is going to be like. We need to be teaching people what the church is like and what God holds us accountable for. And so we use whatever method works for us best. If you want to use analogies, if you want to use metaphors, you want to use whatever, just get the message across that the kingdom of heaven is the greatest thing mankind has ever been offered. And live in such a way that we can be doing those things. Now, are you spiritually minded to receive this instruction? Now, that's up to you. You have to answer that question. Am I spiritually minded? Do I have a good foundation? Do I have a good understanding of what the kingdom of heaven is? What the church is? What the truth is? What salvation is all about? If you don't really feel you have that good grasp of things, then you need to be coming to the class, the Babes in Christ class. And we need to learn. But it is our responsibility to learn these things. So that's our lesson. Want to consider those things and always apply those things to teach someone about how you enter the kingdom of heaven. It's through faith. Through faith that causes you to repent of your sins, to confess his name, to be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then that just begins your spiritual journey. We're all on this spiritual journey. We're going together. And we're here for each other to help each other get there. And so that's what we need to do. And those who are new to this, it's, believe me, it's a totally new concept for them. And they need this guidance. They need the encouragement that we can offer them. And they need the education about learning what God's will is. And we can give that to them. If we have to use analogies, we can do that. But it's really, we need to help each other in order to get to heaven. So if you're subject to the invitation tonight, we're going to invite you to come.